Well, good evening and welcome. It's always a privilege and pleasure to get to stand before you and stand before you this evening. I also consider it a privilege to get to follow in Tyrone's footsteps behind the mic. I briefly met Tyrone while preaching in Shepherd, Texas. And he was one of the first folks in the area to do a preacher swap. And so I got to visit Porter while Tyrone came over to Shepherd. And so I always feel a certain amount of debt and gratitude. And then to hear about Tyrone's work in Ethiopia is always fascinating to us, obviously, in some regards, because our son is from Ethiopia. And so Tyrone shares some stories, and you got to see some of the pictures of what Ethiopia looks like, and some of the folks there that travel back to Sudan. And before I get into my lesson, I want to share a little bit, just a story that Tyrone had mentioned about before Sudan had split into two separate countries. As he stated, it was illegal to carry the gospel. And he made a statement about he was training men to go risk their lives to preach the gospel in a country where it wasn't allowed. And even today, while it's still separate, there's a lot of tribal warfare. There's a lot of warfare going on in Africa, in particular there in Sudan. And so certainly want to mention that and to make sure that you do remember Tyrone as he travels over there, as he trains preachers to go back into an area that's hostile to the gospel. And saying that, I think that what we get here sometimes is sometimes we get a little comfortable in our surroundings and our facilities. I don't know about you, but I love Sunday nights because it's kind of that mesh of the early service and the late service. And so you get all the different personalities and the singing and all the different folks together. And on top of that, we get to hear about God's power in South Sudan in a way that God has utilized refugees and those committed to spreading God's word in Africa. If you look at the New Testament and the dispensation of the gospel, you know, utilizing people from all around the world there on Pentecost to spread the word, using key cities and key areas such as refugee camps, you never know whose life you may impact or where they may take the word. Just because they're at a refugee camp, they may never return to Sudan. They may never fully establish themselves there in Ethiopia. They may move on to some other country. And so to me, it's quite unique to use that type of environment. It's my hope that we don't take our meeting place here for granted, our members or our time with one another. This is a blessing that other communities here in the United States, here in Texas in particular, if you travel to other states, in particular if you go north, you may only have one place to worship. Across the United States and around the globe, there are many places where they don't have the same familiarity, the same facilities, the same like-mindedness, the same leadership, the same teachings, the same Bible teachers, the same preachers. This evening, I'd like to discuss an idea that was introduced to me in the form of a question. A lot of times, for those folks that have adopted a child that's international or looks a little bit different than you do, you get questions about your adoption. And so one of these questions that I just recently got was about how simple and easy the process must be. That anybody and everybody who wanted to adopt, surely it must be a pretty simple process. And basically, given the context of the conversation, it was, you know, just step right up, sign the paperwork, and you're good to go. And for those, I hear some laughs and I saw some smiles. This congregation, I believe, is unique in how many families that have adopted and have adopted internationally. But I had to carefully explain that adopting a child for us, and in particular internationally, required a certain commitment level, a certain determination. We had to be committed because there are enough obstacles and hardships and confusions along the way that if you aren't committed, if you aren't determined, you'll quit. There are different paperwork requirements. There are different requirements that you have to ask of your friends and family. Different requirements you have to ask of your ministers. Requirements of your employer. Requirements with your background. And then working all of those countries' requirements federally and even at the state and county level. There are hurdles, roadblocks, requirements, travel, etc., that there's enough things that can get in the way to test your commitment. And while we're talking about commitment, I just briefly, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, I briefly want to tell you about some of the word associations with commitment. Commitment has the following associations: a pledge, a promise, a dedication, a vow, an obligation, or responsibility. If you were to look in your concordance in your Bible or look at a subject index, chances are every time you read the word commit or commits or committed, it's typically around sin. It's not typically associated with your lifestyle or your choice or costs or sacrifice or any of those types of things. Yet that's what I would like us to focus around. So take a moment right now to think about life. Commitment is found all around us. We can choose to be committed to work, to school. We could be committed to our spouse, our husband, or wife. We can be committed to our children. We could be committed to football, to volleyball, to band, to choir, to theater, to orchestra. Whether it's memorizing lines, practicing a sport, exercising, or getting a better diet in our lifestyle, our life has a list of things demanding our commitment. Our list of things, our list of people, that list is limitless. Challenge you to think about your week and the demands of your time, your effort, your thought process. What is required of you in your life? Tonight, I'd like us to focus on that thought process of commitment. We're going to look at Noah, and we're also going to briefly look at Paul. And so what I'd like you to do is to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. And since most folks here know and understand Noah, right? Genesis chapter 6 through Genesis chapter 9. There's a few things that I want to highlight, but for the remainder of it, I'm going to trust either you know it, or if you need some refreshment, that you're going to go back and read those three chapters. Or I guess 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. So we're going to turn in Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to do what I call a view from the top. Genesis chapter 6, we're going to read verses 5 through 9. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I've created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. The view from the top. I'd also like for us to look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. Genesis 6 and verse 22. It's a pretty simple statement. Noah did everything just as God commanded him regarding the ark and the animals. And then again in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 5, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Simple statements, and what I would like for us to consider tonight as the view from the top. The Lord was grieved with creation. We've heard that statement, we've read it, we've talked about it, we've discussed all the different things that must have been going on. And then there was Noah. Something that I've read probably several times, but I never really stopped to think about, was he was blameless among the people of his time. And that phrase stuck out to me because I live among people. I don't live just among cars and work and papers and animals and things like that. I live among people. And who here, and you can raise your hands on this, gets to work with people on a daily basis? Man, working with people is hard. Working with personalities and favorites and all types of stuff is hard work. Blameless among the people of his time. I wonder and think, how hard or easy was it for Noah and his family to be blameless among the people of his time? I look out across our creation at this time and I think, my goodness, stuff's bad. It's terrible. This thing's happening and that thing's happening and this natural disaster's taking place and man, just got to turn off the news. Can't listen to people talk. They're so negative. Politics are terrible. I can't make a differentiation, whatever. People lie. People cheat. People steal. Folks can't find jobs. I look out and I think across creation and I wonder, you know, you see all this stuff. You hear about it. Maybe you have coworkers that talk about their life and they use terms that you don't use. Or they talk about things that you don't talk about. Or maybe their family is made up in a way that your family's not made up. I wonder if it was hard or easy on Noah and his family. Do you think that Noah had to be completely committed to a certain lifestyle? I think back to times in my life where I felt like I was the only one fighting, where I felt completely surrounded by folks that had different goals and values for their life. They weren't Christians. They didn't pretend to be Christians. And I felt stress. I felt disgust. I felt alone. I firmly believe that regardless of world population at that time, that Noah had to experience some pressures from those around him. Much, perhaps, in the same way that we feel pressures. As we move on and read about the task that Noah had before him to build an ark, and then the statement that Noah did everything just as God commanded him, to me, he merely met the guidelines. God set out the standards, the blueprints, the requirements, and Noah met those standards. He met those guidelines. They aren't listed here, but I'd like for us to think about the obstacles that Noah may have experienced. What are some of the obstacles he could have experienced? Well, David, right, certain type of cypress wood is required, cutting it, shaving it down. I don't know. I've never built a boat. And depending on who you listen to, Noah had never built a boat either. Nobody had. Fascinating. What about sealing the wood? Making something that's impervious to water? And depending on which translation you look at, you know, using pitch or tar, you know, a substance that requires heat to kind of expand and be moldable, and then it can set. Fumes are terrible. We're required to wear certain respirations whenever we deal with it. But different obstacles. And then the odd request of, you know, build this boat and put a certain amount of animals on it, clean, and a certain amount of animals on it that aren't clean. Just odd. A commitment that Noah must have had and a dedication. The story that Noah and the lessons are often shared to both believers and non-believers. People all over the world still search for the ark to see if it really existed. People debate how in the world it could have really happened. Did a real flood take place? For our discussion tonight, what was Noah willing to personally sacrifice to build that ark? What must he have been thinking about? How could he look out onto his family or his community and say, this is what I've got to do? What was he willing to sacrifice? What could have Noah chosen instead? Normally in my life, I don't know about you, but normally in my life, in David's world, there are choices. You have the choice or the opportunity to do this or do that. You can spend your time doing this or you can spend your time doing that. You can lay foundations and preparations for this or you can lay foundations and preparations for that. Right? Not very specific, but everything challenges us for our time and our effort, our energy, our resources. Even among the congregation, if you were to look at the budget, line by line by line, there is a challenge of resources that are finite. We all have those challenges, even among our personal budgets and our personal work time. I can't tell you how many times I'll look at work. We use Microsoft Office and use the calendar application to schedule meetings with people. And the amount and volume of meetings for Shell is astonishing. We have to have a pre-planning pre-meeting, and then the pre-meeting, and the planning meeting, and the post-meeting meeting. And it's ridiculous. There are all these pressures, no matter where you look across your life. What if Noah was too booked? Right, there's no slot on his calendar. I had to wait 6 months. You know, what if Noah was overbooked? What if he had too many commitments? What if he had said yes and 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 Noah was spent? He's tired. I would imagine that there are many of us that face that challenge. We say yes. Perhaps our children say yes, other family members say yes. And before we know it, there's nothing left of us to give. Switching gears, I'd like us to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, with the same thought process of commitment. Commitment. All right, we're going to read from chapter 11, verses 21 through 30. Here Paul is talking about if he were to boast, not that he is, but if he were to boast, he states this, "What anyone else dares to boast, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and that I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and do I not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." This is a ridiculous level of obstacles. Absurd. Beaten and shipwrecked, left for dead, turning away from all the things that Paul had ever known. And brothers and sisters, we're not asked to do those kind of things every day. And I'm not asking you to get beaten, shipwrecked, or in prison. And I'm not asking you to go into some foreign country where the gospel's not allowed. But I am asking you is, what is God worth to you? What is your personal commitment level towards Him? Are you willing to answer the call day in and day out? I'm not asking you to be shipwrecked, but if you were, would you still be dedicated and committed to following Christ? A car wreck, a job loss, in good health, in bad, wealthy or poor, popular or not, easy or hard, what would your commitment level be? Tonight, I'm asking you about your commitment. We talk about things like this at the beginning of a new year. Coaches talk about it. Teachers talk about it. Employers talk about it. What is your commitment level to God and to Christ? Where's your time? Where's your effort? Where's your skill? God has an open door for each and every one of us. We have the opportunity to give our best. This evening, if you have a struggle with your commitments, and perhaps an opportunity is in your life to reevaluate what you're moving towards. Being a Christian isn't simple, just like adopting a child isn't simple. And day in and day out, we struggle. And day in and day out, God and our brothers and sisters are out there for our support. If you have a need, won't you come as we stand and sing?
All to Jesus.